You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12s. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Happy Blue Friday to all the 12s out there. Glad to have Nick Lee joining me for today's show. We only have 48 hours until the Seahawks take on the New England Patriots at CenturyLink Field. We're keeping our fingers crossed that the smoke and the air quality will allow us to actually have a game on Sunday night. Things look to be trending in the right direction. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Whether you're watching from the press box like me or watching on TV with friends and family, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. It's week two, so it's still early enough. The bumps and the bruises aren't settling in yet in a young NFL season. It shouldn't really be a surprise that Seattle's injury report is pretty small heading into Sunday's game against New England. Rasheem Green dealing with a shoulder injury and Cedric Ogbuehi still nursing a pectoral injury. Those two have been out all week so far. Did not participate again in Thursday's practice. Philip Dorsett still nursing a foot injury. He has practiced this week, but in limited fashion. Dwayne Brown, it looks like it's going to be one of those years for the veteran where he's just going to practice a little bit each week, and otherwise they're just going to keep him fresh. And quite frankly, he's been playing long enough. He doesn't need all that extra practice time. And the new addition to the injury report, Jamal Adams, apparently with an elbow-related issue. He was shaking his arm out a couple times when they played the Falcons last week, but he was a full participant yesterday. I don't think there's anything to worry about there. Teams are required to list players. I expect he's going to be fully ready to go for this game. Really, it's those first couple injuries that I mentioned are the ones that are most pressing here, in particular, Rasheem Green, who going into training camp, Nick, was supposed to be the starter at the five-tech position, and after a fast start, LJ Collier ended up beating him out for that job, and now there's a good chance that he is not going to play in this game.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't practice all week, and it's a bummer because you're going to need all hands on deck for Cam Newton and that offense. It's going to be kind of a bloodbath in the trenches when you're facing a quarterback like Cam Newton when he's healthy. So, yeah, that's certainly a concern. And what I think perked up my ears as well as yours, Corbin, I know because you were beating this drum pretty hard on Sunday, is this could mean Allen Robinson time. This could mean that Allen Robinson makes his NFL debut. Rasheem Green can't go. That's almost a guarantee, I think, that Allen Robinson will make his NFL debut. So that's really a bummer for him. I mean, we're talking about our lead sacker from last year, as sad as that sounds. But still, Rasheem Green made some strides. But, yeah, I think – I'm not sure how much LJ Collier took the job as compared to Green losing it. I think that's for the coaches to decide. I'm not at practice every day. But, yeah, I mean, obviously you want depth when you're facing Cam Newton. Cedric Ogbuehi, same thing. You want depth in the trenches for a game like this. It's going to be pretty physical. I don't think either of those are going to mean win or loss. The one I'm interested in, Corbin, is Philip Dorsett. I know he's a limited participant, but when you got a guy that can fly like Philip Dorsett, and really, like we've mentioned before, he's the fastest technically receiver on the roster right now. No one has a faster 40 time to their name than Philip Dorsett does with the Seahawks receivers. Having a foot issue isn't good. So I'm not sure about his prospects of playing on Sunday. Would really be a nice boost to have him be yet another weapon that Wilson can go to, especially when Belichick is game planning to take away some weapons for Wilson. So it'd be nice to get Dorsett in there, but it might not happen.
Yeah, he's the one on here that I get circled too, because I know Pete Carroll has made some optimistic comments about his recovery, but this is something that Carroll was up front with the media about a few weeks ago, that he anticipated this was going to be an injury that they were going to have to manage. And that's never what you want to hear when you are starting a season. is that this is an injury already. We think we're going to have to manage, keep the workload down, especially for a guy that's game is predicated a lot on his speed. If he's nursing a foot injury, he's not going to be running a 4.28 40 on the field. He's still going to be fast, but it's certainly going to impact his wheels a little bit. And that decreases his value some for your offense. You want to have that third guy out there that can really take the top off a defense, because eventually as a coordinator on the other side, you're like, what do I do? How do I defend this offense with this many weapons that are downfield threats with the best deep ball throwing quarterback in the NFL and Russell Wilson? So you want to get him out there, especially against his former team that he played the last couple seasons with in New England. Dwayne Brown, there's no concern there. Again, they're listing it as a knee issue. It's just maintenance for a 35-year-old tackle. He doesn't need all those practice reps, and he's not going to get them. Hey, he's going to be ready for game day no matter what, because he's been through the trenches for 14 years. The guy is ready to go. So no issues there. And again, Jamal Adams, I wouldn't be worried at all about that. He's going to be ready to play on Sunday as well. But those first three guys, certainly there's some significance. I worry about the depth with Green being out. You did mention Alton Robinson. He's over 270 pounds now, so he can play that five tech role as well as the Leo, and he's got enough strength to do it. It'll be an interesting game for him to get his first reps playing against the New England Patriots, because you know Bill Belichick is always looking for ways to take advantage of rookies, especially somebody making his NFL debut. And so in some ways, not going to be ideal, but you want to get him out there. You want to get the young guy reps, especially after how good that he looked in training camp. One other notable news story here for the Seahawks on their practice squad: they re-signed defensive tackle DeMarcus Christmas. They released receiver Lance Lenoir, who was signed late in training camp, former Dallas Cowboy, played at Western Illinois at the FCS level in college. Christmas, Seahawks fans know very well, sixth-round pick out of Florida State, was with the team all of training camp, has yet to play in an NFL game. But you almost got to wonder if they're going to use one of those two practice squad promotion slots that you're now allowed to use on game day to bring up one of their defensive tackles. Maybe it's DeMarcus Christmas. Maybe it's Anthony Rush, who they signed previously with the Eagles, big 350-pound guy. Maybe even undrafted rookie Cedric Lattimore. But you got to wonder, with how much the Patriots like to run the football, if they're not going to bring up a fourth defensive tackle to have active for this game.
Yeah, you're going to want depth, like I mentioned, on both sides of the trenches for this game. And just so DeMarcus Christmas gets another chance, and, you know, you might say that he has another chance to get his presence felt as DeMarcus Christmas.
That's awful.
Shout out to John Fraley on Twitter for that one. but you're going to want depth either way. So, yeah, that is an interesting point you bring up about the practice squad additions, because – yeah, this is going to be a physical battle, and the trenches need to be absolutely shored up. And if they feel like DeMarcus Christmas can come in, I mean, obviously they're familiar with him. They've seen him. He's been in their system been in the room at least for over a year. So you kind of know what you're getting, and I'd like to see him really succeed. And I really wish that he would jump up more on at the depth chart, because again, after Puna Ford and Jaron Reed, You wish another guy would step up. So DeMarcus Christmas, another opportunity.
Coming up next in the second quarter, continuing to dive deep into this upcoming matchup between the Seahawks and the Patriots, we're going to look at some keys to the game, a couple on offense and a couple on defense. And later in the show, we got a fun game planned as we near this primetime matchup. Don't go away. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be. Official partner of the NFL. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, along with my good friend, Nick Lee. It's our Blue Friday show. Later in the third quarter, this is a special matchup. Seahawks and Patriots, they've had some instant classics in the past. It seems like something crazy, unexpected happens every time these teams get together. So because of that, we're going to play a fun game in the third quarter. We're going to keep a little bit of a tight lip on what type of a game we're going to be playing here. But first, let's talk some keys to this game. leading up to this point, had a chance to look at some key matchups on Wednesday, then broke down the Patriots. Everything we need to know about a new-look New England squad with Mike DeBate of Locked On Patriots on our Thursday show. Now, Nick, you and I get to dig even deeper. The X's and O's, the keys to the game. Let's start with our first one here on offense. Everybody is going to be looking at Stephon Gilmore against Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, and why wouldn't they? That is going to be a prime matchup between three outstanding football players, and there's a chance the Seahawks are going to get the football a fair number of times to their top two receivers, and Russell Wilson might be able to beat Stephon Gilmore a handful of times because Russell Wilson is an elite quarterback, but this feels like a game where that third wheel, so to speak, is going to really have to step up because you and I both know Bill Belichick is a master at game planning to erase at least one player on offense. And maybe that ends up being DK Metcalf. Maybe that's Tyler Lockett. But because of that, they're going to need somebody else to step up. And I look at the New England Patriots linebackers. They don't have Dante Hightower, who opted out for COVID-19. So he's not going to play at all this year. Juwan Bentley and Brandon Copeland are two of their linebackers, and they played well against the Miami Dolphins, according to Mike DeBate of Locked On Patriots. They had good games. I still haven't had a chance to look at the All-22 tape to see for myself, but they got solid grades this week from a number of different outlets, so they played well, but this is going to be a different matchup for them, particularly having to deal with the trio of tight ends the Seahawks have, Greg Olsen, Will Dissly, Jacob Hollister, maybe a bit of a revenge game against his former team, the New England Patriots. And even if they're going to put Adrian Phillips or Devin McCourty on the tight ends occasionally, use some safety on tight end matchups. New England loves the man-to-man coverage. If you bring Adrian Phillips down to the box too much, you are opening yourself up to deep balls to Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, if Philip Dorsett can play. So you got to wonder how much New England is going to be doing that. I just think based on how much man-to-man coverage they tend to play and the matchups that the tight ends are going to have, this seems like a game where Russell Wilson is going to be looking for Greg Olsen, Will Dissly, and Jacob Hollister early and often.
Yeah, I mean, Stephon Gilmore is an excellent, excellent corner, one of the best in the game, but he can't cover two guys at once. So you think if he's on DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, the other guy, Jason McCourty will be on the other, and you know, it's Jason McCourty's an okay corner in his own right, but certainly not Stephon Gilmore. So you know that there's going to be at least another receiver in there that could wiggle loose every once in a while. And like you mentioned, if they start bringing in the safeties, I think this could be a game where you give the Patriots a taste of their own medicine. Now, they, for years, just gashed teams with Gronk and mismatches in the secondary and linebackers. And, I mean, that's really what made Gronk's career. He was just a straight mismatch for anyone on defense that tried to cover him. So he's basically a defensive end and a tight end, you know, with receiver athletics. Just amazing. Russell Wilson's a good enough quarterback to where if they start playing around with some matchups and they like what they see with Greg Olsen's matchup or Will Dissly, I think this is a game where multiple tight ends could have good games. You know, that you kind of dink and dunk a little bit there with all three tight ends. I love the Jacob Hollister revenge thing. You know he's going to be itching to get out there and prove what and show the Patriots what they lost. And really, I mean, he kind of did that all of last year. He had a really impressive showing last year. So I'm liking the opening up, especially in the middle of the defense, for a tight end to really gash that defense. And then, like I said, Gilmore can only cover one of those guys. So maybe he follows Tyler Lockett around, or maybe he just covers whoever's on each side between DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. But that will mean a really, really good receiver is not covered by Stephon Gilmore. So I really, really like that. And Corbin, I think we could both agree as well that even though we let Russ cook a lot last week, the run game still needs to be a vital part of this attack. You might even need to rely on it a bit more. The Patriots will be game planning to keep Wilson in the pocket, to create pressure, and to bottle him up because, like you mentioned, Bill Belichick is the best in the game, perhaps the best to ever do it as far as a defensive coach. So you know he's going to be – I mean, Russell Wilson's arguably the hardest quarterback to coach against. So you know he's going to be staying up late, drawing up strategies and stuff like that. So the running attack, Chris Carson, Carlos Hyde, and even Russell Wilson, I think, need to get involved early and often.
I absolutely agree with you. I don't think this is a game. You know, Atlanta and Brian Schottenheimer talked about this some today. A lot of it had to do with the matchup they had with the Falcons. And you and I have discussed this off air as well. You know, the corners they had, AJ Terrell has a chance to be a really good player, but he had never started a game in the NFL before last week. And he had his issues. Isaiah Oliver has really struggled in his couple seasons with the Falcons, and DK Metcalf ended up cooking him a little bit on that fourth down touchdown that went close to 40 yards, burned him inside on a release. And once he got past him, you're not going to catch DK Metcalf. And so that matchup was prime for them to go back and sling it a bunch. I don't think you're going to be able to do that against this Patriots team, because they're going to be well-prepared and they just have a lot better players in the secondary than what Atlanta does. Stephon Gilmore being a really good player. You have both the McCourty brothers that are really solid players. Adrian Phillips I always thought was underrated when he played for the Chargers. And so him being a starter on this team, he's fitting in quite well with what they like to do. So they've got a really strong secondary. I just don't think this is a team – and they're going to be able to manufacture enough pressure. I don't think they have an elite pass rushing defensive line, but they will find ways to get some pressure on Russell Wilson and get to him some. And so you can't just drop back 40 or 50 times and sling the rock. I look at the interior defense, and again, those linebackers, they played well against Miami, but you were tackling Jordan Howard, who hasn't been good for a couple of years, had a couple solid seasons in Chicago, but he hasn't been good for a few years. And they have a bunch of other unproven running backs. Seattle's got Chris Carson. They've got Carlos Hyde. I still think Travis Homer can be a solid contributor. Maybe DJ Dallas plays this week after being inactive in week one. This is a different animal for that linebacking group to deal with. And up front, Damian Lewis had a heck of a debut for Seattle run blocking. Ethan Posick looked solid against the Falcons. I got to wonder if in the interior that line can hold its own against what New England's got up front. I think Lawrence Guy is an underrated player, but there are some concerns depth-wise with that defensive line, especially in the interior. So I could see them having a lot of success running between the tackles in this game, and I think they're going to have to. And if they're able to have more balance, it's just going to make it that much tougher for New England's defense to end up bottling up Russell Wilson.
And defensively, Corbin, for perspective of the Seahawks, I mean, the game plan starts and ends with Cam Newton. You got to tackle Cam Newton, because we know watching the Seahawks and playing the Panthers seemingly every year, seems like they're the honorary member of the NFC West. We've seen Cam Newton time and time again. When he's healthy, he is one of the toughest quarterbacks in the league to defend. Now, the if and the when he's healthy part has been big lately. He has not been. But if he remains healthy with the New England Patriots and can bounce back from having 15 carries in week one and still feel pretty good about it in week two against the Seahawks, that's trouble. And the Seahawks are going to have gap integrity. They're going to have to make sure they don't get ahead of themselves. They don't try to do too much and play hero ball and end up allowing Cam Newton to find a hole here and there to escape. Because I think it was Bobby Wagner who said it, when you tackle Cam Newton, it's almost like he falls 5 yards forward. He's just so big that you don't square up and you don't tackle him well. He gets 5 yards after you hit him. So tackling Cam Newton is – He is public enemy number one in the pass game and certainly win it with his legs.
He's public enemy number one, number two, and number three going into this game, because he is one of those guys. He came into the league 1 year before Russell Wilson, and just like Wilson and Colin Kaepernick and RG3 for a little while, all those dual threat quarterbacks that came in, he is still a matchup nightmare when he's healthy. And right now, for everything we've been told, he's healthy. He looked healthy last week against the Dolphins, running the ball well and ran the ball often. New England is going to have him run the ball on designed runs. The question is, what kind of designed runs are they going to do to try to catch the Seahawks defense and take advantage of that front line that I think had some issues last week with gap integrity? And if you do that against this football team, they will take advantage of it with their scheming. And so I look at this game plan that the Seahawks have. Couple things they have to do. One, with the gap integrity, you have to make sure that you're very disciplined, because once one of those gaps is unfilled, Cam Newton's going to take advantage. There's some good running backs back there that are next to him in New England's backfield as well. And when you are rushing, you have to have rush integrity in this game, because if you get upfield too much and you don't get home, or you're an interior defender and you penetrate a bunch and you open up running room for him to escape, tuck and run, Newton will burn you. And then he'll be looking for contact, because he's a 250-pound freight train. As you mentioned, Bobby Wagner's comments, if you don't hit him square on and the tackle isn't perfect, he is going to fall forward. He's just going to shrug it off, break through arm tackles. He is a monster to try to bring down. And so it starts and ends with slowing him down as a ball carrier. And then in the passing game, that leads me to my second thing here. We know what the New England Patriots like to do. They've been doing this for 20 years. They will occasionally take their deep shots, but last week, Seattle was trying to make Atlanta beat them with that dink and dunk offense. They wanted to eliminate those deep balls to Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. This week, you don't want to rope-a-dope because that puts the New England Patriots right in their element. When they're running their slants and crossers and curls, those short to intermediate routes, that is what the Patriots want to do. They want those long drives where they have a lot of first downs like that. They didn't have a ton of first downs last week in the passing game, but that's what they want to do. And if you allow them to do that, more plays in the field, now you get tired and you have to worry about trying to tackle Cam Newton. It is an avalanche that you want to avoid as a defense.
I mean, who's their most experienced receiver? It's Julian Edelman. And Julian Edelman has made a living just dinking and dunking with Tom Brady. And he's got, I think, 1,000-yard seasons under his belt. And he's one of the best in the business at just carving you up with those good routes underneath. He's certainly not going to take a top off of defense, but that's not what the Patriots are looking to do. Is if getting him out of their elements is making them beat you deep. Because if you put Cam Newton in a box, you put that offense in a box and kind of suffocate him, especially when you got a guy like Jamal Adams who can do that by himself, you're going to tempt them to beat you deep. And I think the Seahawks can take that because – really, when you look at the Patriots depth chart, you look at the receivers and the pass catchers in general, you got Julian Edelman, N'Keal Harry, Damir Bird, Ryan Izzo. I mean, no one really strikes fear into your hearts as a guy that can really just burn you deep, at least not now. I mean, maybe N'Keal Harry can be that guy eventually, but at least not now. They do not have a guy that makes you, you know, lose sleep at night about beating you deep. So just continue to slowly suffocate them and put them in a box. And especially if you can bottle up Cam Newton, that's really going to spell good things for the Seahawks. And really it's a battle of great minds. I mean, two defensive minded coaches that are very alike in many ways and very opposite in other ways. But I think Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick are both going to bring their best defensive game plans. And I think that's going to be really special to watch.
When we return in the third quarter, we're going to switch gears and play a little bit of a game here because every time that the Patriots and Seahawks get together, something wild and unexpected happened. So we're going to dish out some bold predictions for this upcoming Week 2 matchup, the fourth time that these two teams have met since Pete Carroll became coach back in 2010. You won't want to miss it. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith. Joining me for this Blue Friday episode, Nick Lee. We're rapidly approaching game day, less than 48 hours until the Seahawks and the Patriots duke it out at CenturyLink Field. It just seems like every time these two teams get together, something crazy happens, something unexpected. You go back to that 2012 game, the Patriots started to pull away, Russell Wilson being the rookie quarterback. This was really the game that he arrived, led a comeback, hit Sidney Rice for the game-winning touchdown. And then everybody knows what happened in Super Bowl 49. We're not even going to go there.
Skip over that.
At the end of the game. Yeah, but the unexpected certainly happened there. And then in 2016, the CJ Procise game, probably the only game in his entire time in Seattle that from start to finish, he did not get injured. And he had a big game. They got three touchdowns from Doug Baldwin. And then New England, they got a little bit of the same treatment Seattle did a few years earlier by having a heartbreaking situation at the goal line to close out the game. So there's just always something crazy that happens when these two teams get together on a football field. And for that reason, you and I decided it was time to dish out some bold predictions for this game coming up at CenturyLink Field. What is your first bold prediction that you expect to see when the Seahawks and Patriots play this weekend?
Boy, you know, just thinking about the game as a whole and the results, these two teams cannot help themselves but play heart-stopping encounters. Every single game has been nail-biting, show-stopping, and the total difference in points in the margin of victory between the three games that Pete Carroll has been coach of the Seahawks against Bill Belichick's Patriots is 12 points total in three games. I mean, that's about as close as you can get. So I'm going to call for this game to be the closest it possibly can. And actually, it'll be tied at the end of regulation. I'm calling for overtime. I'm calling my shot right now. I think this game goes into overtime. I think it's a slugfest. I think that both these teams are going to have their running game working. And I think both these defenses can make big plays and also avoid giving up big plays of their own. So I'm going to go ahead and say this game goes to overtime. I think the Seahawks can still squeak out a win. I think the Patriots are a little less talented as of from 1 to 53 on paper. But I think this game is close enough. It's going to go to overtime and just be a great Sunday Night Football, NBC, Chris Collinsworth, Al Michaels. Just a great classic overtime game.
Yeah, you went with the overtime. My first bold prediction is going to be on offense. We talked about this a little bit in the second quarter, that the Seahawks run game, I think, is going to have to really show up this week for the Seahawks to win. And I think they have some ideal matchups if they're able to scheme things up correctly where you can get Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde going. I think after a very quiet game, at least running the football, he had two touchdowns as a receiver last week, but I think that this is the week. How fitting would it be to go from Russell Wilson cooking to Chris Carson eating against the New England Patriots? And I think that's what's going to happen. So my bold prediction, I think Chris Carson goes off on Sunday night for 130 rushing yards and two touchdowns. That would be unheard of success against this Patriots defense, but I just have a feeling that this run game, with how much the Patriots are going to have to try to scheme to slow down Russell Wilson, I think there are going to be great opportunities for Chris Carson to get downhill. I like the matchups against the linebackers. I could see him busting off a bunch of big runs in this game and really being a factor that creates problems for Bill Belichick and his defense.
My second one, Corbin, is a pretty darn bold one on offense for the Seahawks. You know, comparing, obviously the big headliner here is Cam Newton versus Russell Wilson, two pretty high profile quarterbacks going at it. And Cam Newton rushed for two touchdowns last week in a pretty impressive effort. One of the, you know, it's not very often that the Patriots quarterback runs for two touchdowns. Russell Wilson ran for three touchdowns last year total. I am going to predict that Russell Wilson has more rushing touchdowns than Cam Newton on Sunday. That's going to be maybe 1-0. Maybe the Seahawks keep Cam Newton out of the end zone. That'd be pretty awesome. But I don't know. I just have a feeling that things can get weird and Russell Wilson will wiggle loose either once or twice and find the end zone. I think Russell Wilson is still – I mean, obviously he's still pretty lethal with his legs. He's not going to rush for 700 yards anymore. But he has just enough. He ran for three touchdowns last year. I think he gets at least one here tonight or on Sunday. And I think that either the Seahawks constrict Cam Newton to zero or at best one, and Russell Wilson finds himself at the end of the night with the box score showing that he has more rushing touchdowns than Cam Newton.
I'm going to go to the defensive side of the football for my second one. And this one's probably a lot bolder even than saying Chris Carson's going to run for almost 150 yards, because at least Chris Carson has consistently ran for over 100 yards in a game. The player I'm going to bring up has never done anything close to this in a game before, but hear me out on this. LJ Collier is going to sack Cam Newton twice on Sunday night. And here is my rationale. He was so close to getting his first NFL sack against Matt Ryan last week. He forced an intentional grounding penalty. He was back in the backfield two other times and got close to getting Matt Ryan down. You look at the game film, and it's kind of baffling watching him, because he'll have a couple plays where he looks completely out of his element, like he doesn't belong, and then he'll have a couple plays where he just gets off of the blocker real quick, looks really powerful, great hand technique. He's just been extremely inconsistent when he's had his chances, and I think that's the big thing, is he hasn't played that many snaps yet in the NFL. He is getting close to getting that sack, and at some point he's going to get home. So I guess my viewpoint is This is maybe not the game where the super athletic edge rusher Bruce Irvin's had a lot of success getting to Cam Newton over the years, but this might not necessarily be the game where you're going to have guys pinning their ears back because you're worried Cam Newton's going to tuck and run. You're going to see some reps for LJ Collier at that three tech position. I predict he gets one sack there and he gets one sack from his defensive end spot, doubles his career total in this game.
Ooh, that is bold. I'm going to go in a similar vein for my final prediction, Corbin. You know, with like you mentioned, the more athletic Leo and edge rushers probably won't be as aggressive. So that might pave way for the more bigger body, you know, five tech guys. I'm predicting that Alton Robinson not only plays his first NFL game, but gets his first NFL sack. I think Alton Robinson will come, finally be an activation on the roster. And I'm not saying he's going to start. I'm not saying he's going to play 90% of the snaps, but he's going to get an opportunity, and he's going to get a matchup he likes, and Alton Robinson is going to get his first NFL sack in his first NFL game, and it's going to be against the former MVP Cam Newton. I just like that matchup as well because he's a bigger-bodied five-tech guy. He's put on some weight, and so he's not a guy that's going to, you know, get super athletic and run right past Cam Newton. I think he's got that body to beat his offensive lineman. And kind of the same rationale as LJ Collier, beat the offensive lineman, stay within himself, stay within the gap integrity, and make the key sack. And Alton Robinson, I think, has a big opportunity if Rasheem Green can't go. Now, that's my prediction is kind of indicative, kind of the hinge point is if Rasheem Green plays or not. If Rasheem Green does play, then I don't think Alton Robinson will get much of a chance. But if he doesn't, Alton Robinson's going to get his first NFL sack, calling it right here.
One, that's it, one sack. Come on, this is supposed to be bold.
He hasn't played yet.
So my last one, I actually am going to go on special teams here. And I'm not saying it's because they've got a switch up in coaches there, because I think Brian Schneider gets kind of a raw deal from fans. He's been a special teams coach in Seattle since Carroll got there. They've had some teams with very good special teams units. The last couple of years have been a little bit of a struggle. But I just have a feeling, even against a New England team that is normally very, very good on special teams, it has been so long since a Seahawks returner has taken a kick or a punt back to the house. And I think this is the weekend that that changes, because as we talked about at the beginning of this segment, there's always something wild that happens when these two teams get together. So why not David Moore taking a punt back to the house? I actually thought last week, one of the punt returns, he got a nice return on. It looked like he was one block away from maybe breaking that baby. So I think this week he gets that block, and I think he's gone. I think David Moore makes a splash play on special teams that ends up being a big difference maker for this Seahawks squad.
Woo, all right. I like that a lot. I think I don't know how long it's been, Corbin, since – the Seahawks have.
I didn't look it up, but I know it has been several years since Tyler.
Dare
Lockett
I say it's been since
back.
Lockett's rookie year?
I think he took one back shortly, like a couple weeks before
here,
he broke
I'll
his
look.
Leg.
I'll do live on air research here. He has not. Lockett has not returned one. Or no, he returned a kick in 2017. So 2017 was the last kick return touchdown by Tyler Lockett. So I'm assuming that was the last one for the Seahawks.
It has to be the last one for them. Yeah, it's been a few years. It just seems like they are well overdue. So I'm calling it this weekend. David Moore being back there returning punts, I think he gets the needed block to break loose, and I think he shakes and bakes a little bit, breaks an arm tackle, and he's gone. I think David Moore takes it back to the house. Anyway, when all these predictions come true, we'll talk about it on our show next week.
We'll see you in Vegas.
So, well, make sure to follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Nick at Nick Lee 51. Expect a lot of Padres content as we're getting closer
baby.
To the baseball playoffs approaching after their condensed regular season. You can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is, by going to our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. When we come back on Monday, Rob Rang is going to rejoin the show. The two of us are going to break down Sunday's game, hopefully discussing a Seahawks victory over the Patriots. And as always, our Monday mailbag segment. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Wear a mask. Go Hawks.